Hello, everybody. My name is Justice Waters from Indiana. This is Sunday, November 17th. This is the judicial call for the United States, for the Republic, and we are proud to have everybody here. We're glad you are listening. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Declaration of Sovereignty, the highlights of it, and we're going to talk about the Northwest Ordinance and how both of those come into play together. We've had a lot of people over the last 3 months ask a lot of questions about the DSI. Let me give you a little quick background of it. In September of 2010, I happened to be on a phone call, which lasted 4.5 hours. And there we voted in a president, a vice president. We voted in a few of his cabinet members. We voted in a complete 9-man Supreme Court. And everybody in the judicial was sworn in. And all of Congress at that time, about 400 people were sworn in. 48 states, I believe it was, were present and accounted for with at least one individual there at Utah. So it was basically the Congress that were there, and since that, they locked themselves into a barn, and they held church, they sang, they give testimony, and then 12 or 13 hours later, they came out with this Declaration of Sovereignty. They had a film. Somebody filmed this thing. And while they were filming, they proceeded to worship God, and they did their work. It was all recorded. It was almost 20 hours worth. When Tim Turner and a few other people were looking at it later, they noticed there were white dots all over the place on the film. And they thought they really messed up. And they took it to a professional, some guy out of Hollywood, who looked at it and said, no, this is exactly what was going on there. This is a good video. And the only conclusion they could come up with was those white dots they saw floating around were angelic forces, protecting them, hiding them, and allowing them to get the work done. The first phone call we had happened to fall on the first day of Tabernacles that year. And it's amazing that ever since that time, major events with the Republic have taken place on a feast day. Now, I knew about the feast long before that, but that just confirmed to me what I had known for about 20 years. God works around his feast days. That's when he does things. And you've heard me say before that when he sets a pattern down, he never deviates from that pattern. Therefore, if you want to see what's about to take place, you might want to wait for a feast day. So, when they met in Utah, it was only supposed to be a gathering place, and they had had this plan for about a month. And the people in Utah were trying to set the Utah state up and get people to fulfill the Northwest Ordinance so they could become what we called at the time a green state. In other words, a state that was fully occupied. And the Monday before that they were going to meet, the president, Tim Turner, said, you know, I think I'm going to drive out there and just be a part of that. And one of the Supreme Court justices at the time said, you know, maybe some of the Congress can go out there, and if we had enough, maybe we could hold a session of Congress there. But he said, you know, that's just another 4 days, so I don't think we can get that done. And on that call, the next hour, we had people chime in off the queue saying, I can go, I can make it. If I get somebody to pick me up, I'll go. And when they got there Wednesday night, they had a quorum of states with the Congress. The next morning, they had almost a full complement of the House and the Senate. And that's who wrote this Declaration of Sovereignty. Now understand that no law can be brought forth in the Republic government unless it's done by the Congress. The Congress we have in D.C. is illegitimate. It was brought forth on false pretenses. They're actors. They look like, they act like, they talk like they're not really the Republic. You hear all the time now, our Democratic Republic. No, no, no. That can't be. They're too opposite. You can't take two magnets and keep them separated if you bring them together too closely. They attract one another. This is the exact opposite. They throw each other away. What one supports, the other can't. The difference between the two is a democracy, it's mob rule. If you get out of 100 people, if you get 51 people standing on the Supreme Court throwing flags and holding up and megaphones and screaming and crying, I love gays, and they look out the window and don't see any of the other, well, guess what the majority says? And that's what they go with. That's mob rule. In the Republic, you do have a vote, and yes, majority does win. However, the people of the Republic that come from your states, they're the ones that go to the national government, and they're the ones that actually make out the bills that work for the people that they represent. If you're a senator in your state and you're at the national level, you work for the state, not the people. That's what the House of Representatives are. They are a representative of the people of your state. In all the ancient books that we've read in the Republic about how this government was brought forth, every single one of those authors back in the late 17, early 1800s, they all said the same thing. The state are the people and the people are the state, yet can't separate it. Just like you can't separate church and state. They're one and the same. Now, I know what MSNBC says. I know what CNN says. They're lying to you. There was always, always a same thing as the church and the state. It's that way in the Constitution. It's that way in the Declaration of Independence. The Bill of Rights. They're not given by man. Yeah, I can take you to the Bible and show you the law where the Bill of Rights come from. It's nothing new. It's been around for 2,000 years. It's just the founders put it in our document. Now, if that's the case, and you've heard me ask this one or two other times before, if there was no such thing as church and state to begin with, like the atheists like to say, then why did the Supreme Court have to come up with a ruling that said there is a separation of church and state? If it was already there, they wouldn't have to make a ruling. So that tells you they're lying to you, and from the very beginning, talking back to the Thomas Jefferson days, there was a same type of government. The central church in the 1800s, everybody used it for Sunday services. Then on Monday, they'd have city council meetings. They'd have school there Monday through Fridays. I mean, the church building was used all the time. And to show you how it works today, at least in my area here in Grant County, Indiana, the church cannot do anything with the government until election day. And all of a sudden, the church becomes a polling place. That always amazed me. How can that be? They who own and operate the 501c3 church are the government. What happened to separation of church and state? Oh, I guess they forgot about that part. No, it's called control. You control the church, you control 60% of the population. Now, that population here recently is declining. They're finding out there are groups of people out here that are doing home studies, home church, and so forth, that are actually teaching the Bible and not a IRS formatted sermon. Because at a 501c3 church, that's what you get, a sermon okayed by the IRS. So when these guys all got together in Utah, they understood one thing. The founders brought forth the Declaration of Independence, which separated us from the king. And we had to do the same thing. When you read the Declaration of Independence, you need to understand they did not have overnight express. They didn't have email. It took 3 months for that declaration to make it to London, where the King of England sat. So they didn't know this until it arrived. But it is not just a declaration. It technically is a declaration of war. It was tyranny against the king. It was treason against the king, because the king ruled the colonies. The king placed governors in all the states, or the colonies. He ruled it with an iron fist. And if they actually put armored men from the king's army into your house. And men, if in that day you said something against the way things were, well, you were tried for treason and probably hung. And while they're trying you, they're raping your wife and daughter. And they got away with it because they had the willpower and the manpower to do it. And the founders finally got sick of what was going on. Do you know that most everybody that signed the Declaration of Independence was 27 years or younger? Only a few of them were over 40. Benjamin Franklin was in his 70s. Think about that. These were young guys. They'd had enough of it. What our people did in Utah was exactly the same thing. Theirs is called the Declaration of Independence. Ours is called the Declaration of Sovereignty. Why sovereignty? Because we as a people living in our state, the state is not sovereign. The state is like a building. The people that are in it are sovereign, not because they're powerful and almighty. No, because they're people of God, and God is the only true sovereign. And when you've got the blood of Christ that runs over you and through you, you are His, which makes you sovereign, but only in a spiritual way. So the declaration is sovereignty. The people of God are writing this against the Obama administration at the time, because that was who was in the White House. What was Obama? Well, he was a Muslim. He belonged to the Muslim Brotherhood. And to prove that fact, and everything that happens you can prove, whenever he went to a Muslim nation, you ever know Michelle never went? You know why? Because in the Muslim nations, they go by the Quran and they go by Sharia. Sharia is the law that they go by. And Sharia says when you come upon a transvestite, a transhuman, or somebody who dresses up like the opposite sex, you kill them. No questions asked, you cut their head off. That's Sharia. So Michael or Michelle stayed home. That proves what she was or what he was. And to this day, nobody has a picture of her pregnant. Nobody. Because there is none. Those two daughters they got were adopted, not birthed, not by them. Now, with the corruption in the White House and all that's going on around the country, in Utah when they came up with this, this is what they wrote. And I'm, like I said, this is a highlight. This thing is over 140 pages long when you read it all together. This is taken from the Republic for the United States of America, the DSI, written and signed into law by President James Timothy Turner at Wind Walker Ranch in 2010. It was released to the Committee of 300. They rule the world on what wars take place and all that. The International Court of Justice, that's The Hague, the United Nations, and the Universal Postal Union. The unanimous declaration of the sovereign people of the United States of America to restore and re-inhabit the free American republics. Now, I need to let you know something here. At that point in time, we were not a republic. We were 50 separate grand juries in states. So all these people that are forming their little grand juries in their counties and stuff, it's all for naught because we'd already done that. And we brought this forth. They're 14 years behind schedule. Now, in this DSI, we have what's called a warrant of the de jure grand juries of the peoples of the United States of America assembled under God. Notice the word united, little u, big S in the word states. That's the way the founding fathers first wrote United States. It doesn't mean the national government. It means the people of the states. We are known as the guardians of the free republics and sole lawful authority on the land. The governor of your state right now in the corporation, in technical terms, lawful terms, has no jurisdiction on anybody in this republic simply because he's in a different jurisdiction. He is corporate, known as de facto. We are de jure. We are the original republic. The first order that comes is on page 34. They are told to cease and desist all foreclosure collection actions against all sovereign people. The second order, page 35, cease and desist all tax-related actions against the sovereign people. Third order, page 36, cease and desist all judicial and quasi-judicial actions against the sovereign people for crimes which lack an injured party, which, by the way, is about 95% of them. Fourth order, page 37, provides safe passage through the state republics free from government molestation. That would be your state police. fifth order, page 38. Restore the trappings of lawful de jure governance. Now, that's what we asked the governors of the states to do 10 months before that. And they laughed at us and they threw it away. They spit on it. Now, what we did, which is in law, is we wrote up something and we presented it to everybody. It's like taking it and putting it up on the bulletin board down at the laundromat in your town so everybody that goes in that building can see that. That's lawful. When we did elections for President Geiger and that group back in 2016, we put a little paragraph in the USA Today paper, went out to 32 million people. Everybody in America had a chance to see that. And that's lawful. You have to wait 30 days, and that's lawful. It becomes law then. It's okay to do that, whatever it is you're saying, because nobody came against it. That's what we did with the governors in February of 2010. And we got no response from them directly. So what they did by not doing it for the people, not for the just us in the Republic, but for the people across America, was considered an act of war against the people, which then gave us the right, the lawful right, to continue on. So next came general orders of the de jure grand juries of the people of the United States assembled under God as guardians of the free republics and sole lawful authority on the land. You understand what that just said? The people, you, at that time in 2010, you were the sole local authority on the land in your county. You are the sole state authority on your land in whatever state you lived in, because a person is the state and the state is the person. You can't separate the two. And then it says two. This is who we are writing this to. Our most beloved fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters, who have selflessly volunteered to serve as the armed forces of the United States of America by your support and defend our Constitution, are entrusted with the sacred duty to protect families, neighbors, friends, and nation, and the prosperity from enemies, foreign and domestic, currently waging economic warfare against the people and the nation under God, and to all whose diligent action is needed and bound by oath hereto. If you've ever had a son or a daughter or a mother or a father who joined the military to protect the Constitution, that's who that's written to. That's who this DSI is for, first and foremost. Those who put their lives on the line to protect the Constitution so you can have the freedoms it presents. That's who we're doing it for. The first general order, page 43. Cease and desist all tax actions against related the sovereign people. Stop the tax courts. Get rid of the IRS. Get rid of the Federal Reserve System. It's corrupt. General Order number 2, page 44. Cease and desist all foreclosure and collection actions against the sovereign peoples. Now, what is that actually saying? We are the people of God. We fall under Yahweh's jurisdiction. We live on your land, but you are treating us wrongly, corruptly, and illegally. And we're telling you, we're not asking, we're telling you to stop what you're doing. Because in the end, it's going to save your life. No, Roger isn't going to come against you, but the God I serve will. And after 14 years, it seems to have just kind of slid right on by. We had 4 good years with Trump. God allowed America to see what it could be. Between, on each side of Trump, we had Obama and then Biden. Now here's the problem in the spiritual sense. Biden stole the election. You and I both know it. The courts are defending everything Biden said because they wanted him in the power seat to destroy everything this country has been. And I can guarantee you that is from, those orders came down from the United Nations. But there's something they don't know. They know now, they didn't then. The God that I serve, the God that you serve, is not just a little bit, but he's a huge, big difference between the God that they serve. See, the God that I serve, his son went into the depths of hell and kicked Satan's butt and took back the keys of life, death, and hell from him. And Satan was left with no more authority. He had no right to do anything he's doing. So why is he still doing it? Because we, the people, give him the authority to do it. When we speak things, when we do things, we open up doors that allow him to come in. That's the only power he has. So, what did we do in Utah? We opened up a porthole for the angelic forces of heaven to work on our behalf. Psalms 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of the word." Not the Lord, the word. What's the word? Christ, the Messiah. He's the word. So when we speak something in Deuteronomy, or we speak something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, we're speaking the word. And that gives the angelic forces of heaven all power and authority from the throne room to come do what we just said from the word itself. Roger doesn't, he can't command angels, but he can use the word that does command them. And thus, we've gotten a lot accomplished over the years just in the Republic. But you know Satan, he'll do his best to tear everything up. When we started this same thing we're doing right now in the Republic back in 2011 and 12, the Indiana governor at the time, his name is Gary Gillespie, he began to form an alliance with then the Texas governor, and I don't even recall what his name is, which then got a hold of the California governor, then the Michigan governor, and before long, we had 30 states that were in an alliance with each other through a phone call of the governors called the Coffee Clutch. And they formed an alliance to get rid of Tim Turner, headed up by the judicial Supreme Court Chief Justice Nathan Peachey, who by now is in federal prison for all likelihood the rest of his life. Good riddance. And they formed a band. and they were going to outdo and tear apart the republic and take over. You want to know why we are so dead set against the nation state group? There you go. I know the damage firsthand, what they can do. And this time, I will not swear in anybody who has the potential to be a nation stater. I'd rather put a gun to your head than swear you in. Because I'm passionate about the Republic. The oath that I administered three times tonight says it all. That I will support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Foreign is in Iraq. Domestic is in D.C. They are not your friend. They're not your go-between. They are your flat-out enemy. They hate your guts. You know why? Because you're taking too much of their money, too much of their air, and too much of their food. That's a quote from Bill Gates, who, by the way, gets paid billions of dollars a year from the federal government, your tax money. And I can prove it. So this is why the Republic is here. We are a go-between the Father in heaven and the planet Earth. Three times that I know of in the Old Testament, God makes a comment. I looked for a person to stand in the gap between me and the land, but I found none. Therefore, well, destruction came. This republic, because of what we did in 2010, is the go-between this throne room of heaven and our land. We're it. The Sunday morning churches out there, they break the fourth commandment every time they meet. The Sabbath is not Sunday, it's Saturday. People can hate that all they want. The truth is the truth. Not because I say it, because God said it. It's the Word. That's what stands. Roger may say things, you may say things that may get recorded in heaven in some book somewhere. But the Word is forever. When there is nothing else in the universe, the Word still is there. How big and how great is our jurisdiction? A lot bigger than you think it is. A lot more powerful than you think it is. Why is it that the church that my wife Beth and I used to go to for the whole 3 or 4 years we were together there at MYF, the same people were on the same prayer thing for an illness or a sickness? It never seemed to change. And every Thursday night, the church who were there would pray for them. Why didn't they get healed? I know why, but nobody wants to say it because the Spirit of God wasn't acting. We weren't worshiping correctly, and the prayers weren't the right prayers. You may have the Spirit in you with the gifts, and like I said Thursday night, if you come across some guy just been hit with a car that's on a motorcycle, you don't need now the gift of speaking in tongues. You need the gift of healing. You capable of doing that? Not everybody has the same gift. I understand that. God doesn't want people in this republic who are hee-haws and upsetters and people who murmur all the time. We've had that back in 2011, 2012. they're no longer here. Some of them are dead. A lot of them, they're wandering around the country trying to figure out where the land is that they're supposed to be standing on. Because before the Republic, there were other people out there going through this thing about how to get out of the jurisdiction of the United States. And all of a sudden, they find out they get no Social Security, can't cash a check, can't have a bank account, can't get a driver's license, nothing. Because the second you do, you go right back into their jurisdiction. So you better be a multi-billionaire. Oh, that's right, you can't use their money either. Well, then you're just stuck. You got to have some kind of relief. Well, that's the Republic. The above is just a small portion of the DSI that directly relates from the paperwork that was sent out to the governors in February of 2010. This DSI is our law, belonging to the people. But the nation had to go through the Obama years and more of the Biden years and almost had 4 years of the Harris, which would have destroyed our nation. Why did Trump win? Why was it a landslide? Oh, people were just sick and tired of Harris. Well, that might be. But why were they sick and tired of Harris? Because in their hearts, they understood what God gave them when they were born in this nation. And they did not want the crap and the BS that was coming out of her mouth and coming out of her actions. When she confirmed that she was running the government behind closed doors, that she was always the last one to leave the room, that told Americans everything that's happened under the last almost 4 years, he owned it. God revealed to you and other people that what we have here, we are not a little force somewhere that has a few weapons and we go meet every once or twice a month and have meetings and you got to pay dues. We're not a little militia somewhere in the corner of the state. Every country in this world knows who the Republic is. In that light, we're big. We're huge. But we have no authority yet. But that is about to change. So we did some study back in the day. And we were desperate to find some laws that the founders did that we could still use today. And we did. We found the Jay Treaty, which between the United States and France was formed. And in that Jay Treaty, it says that we shall always have the title United States forever and ever. That means as long as there are people on this land and the Republic is still in operation, the title of the country is the United States. And no communist country, no other form of government can come into this country and take this over. And that's why the Jay Treaty still stands today. Because if we ever get away with the Jay Treaty, we wouldn't be the United States anymore. Thank God that Obama and Biden and Harris are that dumb, they never looked for it. We also found something else, because our problem was, how do we get the country reformed? We found this little thing called the Northwest Territory. Now, it didn't look all that big, but we read it a few times on some calls. And this is what we read. officially titled An Ordinance for the Government of the Territory of the United States Northwest of the Ohio River. The Northwest Ordinance was adopted on July 13, 1787 by the Confederation Congress. The one house legislature operating under the Articles of Confederation. Wait a minute. I thought that was done away with. Well, let's read on. The Northwest Ordinance chartered a government for the Northwest Territory, provided a method for admitting new states to the Union from the territory, and listed the Bill of Rights guaranteed in the territory. Whoa, you mean they had a Bill of Rights? Yeah. Following the principles outlined by Thomas Jefferson in the Ordinance of 1784, the authors of the Northwest Ordinance, probably Nathan Dane or Rufus King, spelled out a plan that was subsequently used as the county expanded, the country expanded to the Pacific. Now, if you got the document, you have the entire ordinance sitting there in front of you. There's no way I can read all that and we'd be here when the sun came up. So I'm going to highlight it. Why do we do in the Republic what we do? Why do we bring states in as we do? Because in law, and this is something you judges are going to have to know, in law, we, the Republic, have to follow absolute law. Because if we stretch it one way or take something out of it there, what was it God told Moses? You should not add or subtract from what I give you. We were given this, and we can't add or subtract from it. It's law. We have to do what this says, because this is what the founders, when I say founders, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Patrick Henry, those guys, they had to follow this too. It was a new law for them. It's an existing law for us. And therefore, we do the same things, the same ways they did. Go down to Section 3, and here's what it says. Be it ordained by the authority aforesaid that there shall be appointed from time to time by Congress a governor whose commission shall continue in force for a term of 3 years unless sooner revoked by Congress. He shall reside in a district and have a freehold estate therein of 1,000 acres of land while in the exercise of his law office. You governors, I know that when you came in, because I vetted some of you, and so did my wife. My wife's a senator. You went before the Senate with your writings and your bios about you. You were asked questions. We talked with you. We got a feel for you. We said yay or nay for you. We said yay. But the president wrote the letter, right? But who ordained you? It wasn't the president. It was the Congress. So we are following that law. President can't just say, oh, I like this guy, let's put him in. Write your name on a line, and there you go, you're governor. No. You have to be fully vetted. So if you want to know that vetting process, You send your bio in to Sandy at the time. She does a background check on you. Are you a murderer? Did you get released from federal prison for mass murdering 20 people or whatever? Nope, they're good to go. So they put you on a list and you get vetted by my wife, myself, and some other people. They like you. You sound good. We put you and say, yay, your qualifications are good. It goes to the president. Why the president? Because Congress has already said yes. Congress vetted you. Congress okayed you. President isn't doing anything except agreeing with what Congress said. There shall be appointed from time to time by Congress a governor. Okay. That's what the law said. Good. All right, so the governors are good to go. Down to section 4. There shall be appointed from time to time by Congress a secretary whose commission shall continue in force for 4 years unless sooner revoked. Now that word revoked comes up with every one of them. Every one of those positions. So who revokes you? The president? No. Congress. So the Secretary of States, but we call them SOSs for short. Governor, every state before it's over is going to have a Secretary of State. They keep the records. They're the ones that are vital to the state. They're like the heart. They keep things moving, and they write everything down. Wouldn't you love to have been a Secretary of State back in the day where you had an ink bottle and you had this hard paper and an ink pen and you had to write down every single word that was said? Now, people talk like this, it would be okay. But when people talk like this, then you have a problem. By the way, some of our founding fathers that it was hard to grab a hold of what they were saying. They were speaking so fast. In that same section, about two-thirds of the way down, it says, there shall also be appointed a court to consist of 3 judges, any 2 of whom to form a court, who shall have a common law jurisdiction. Now, what does that word common law there mean? Laws of the Bible. Look it up. Now, we've got a governor, we've got a secretary of state, and we got 3 judges. In order for a state to be ready to be stood up, those are the only 5 positions you will need. I don't care what anybody else tells you. When the military approaches a republic and says, are you ready? President Geiger can present a paper to them with the list of all the states and all the people they have, and the only thing the military will look for is if a quorum of states, that would be 37, have all 5 positions ready to go. They're not going to look at the counties. They care less about the counties. Counties are inside the state. They're looking for the state. Is the state government ready to go? They understand the Northwest Ordinance. They know it's a territory and not a state under the law form of today. You have no de jure governance in your state whatsoever. But when they come, they're not going to come in the middle of the night and say, "Shh, quiet, are you ready to go?" No, because what's happening when they're doing that? The masses of the corruption out there are getting picked up as well to never see the light of day again. Now look at section 5. The governor and judges, or a majority of them, remember, two of the three judges make a court, shall adopt and publish in the district such laws of the original states. That means you got to go to the original 13 colonies that became states, look at their constitutions and laws, and pattern yours under theirs. Criminal and civil, as may be necessary and be suited to the circumstances of the district. Now wait. That means that if you're in Colorado and you got the Rocky Mountains, travel in your state isn't going to be the same as it is in Indiana. For the most part, Indiana is flat as a doornail. You get to the Rocky Mountains and try to go over them, you can't drive there like you drive here. Laws are going to be a little different. That's what that means. And report them to Congress from time to time, which laws shall be enforced in the district until the organization of the General Assembly therein, unless disproved by their Congress or by Congress. But afterwards, the legislature shall have authority to alter them as they shall think fit. That would be your state legislature. Why do I say that? Because once you have a governor in a territory, and you got three judges and a secretary of state, President Geiger has to stay out of your business. The national government cannot come down into your state government and tell you how to make laws. They can't tell you anything. Now, you can call them and ask them, how do I do this? That's fine. But they can't tell you, you've got to have a law that says. I love Jim Geiger. You can't make a law like that. They can't do that to you. You are your own territory at that time, making up your own laws that are the same as the founders of the 13 colonies. Now, go down to number 6. The governor for the time being shall be commander-in-chief of the militia. Appoint and commission all officers in the same below the rank of general officers. All general officers shall be appointed and commissioned by Congress. Now that Congress is capitalized, and it simply means the National Congress. If you have a state militia, the governor appoints and commissions. If it's a national militia in your state, then it belongs to them, the national government. The state militia is fully and totally run and operated by the governor of the state. You're not supposed to have 6 of them. You only got 1. And I'm telling you now, if it's like it was in Indiana, and Beth and I, we found out the hard way, all 6 say they are the ones and they're in the lead and they're in charge. No, the governor's in charge. They don't want to relinquish any of their authority. So if they're not going to cooperate with the laws of your state constitution, then you pick somebody else to be your lawful militia. Because they, if they do that, then they're going to show you they're not willing to cooperate under the leadership or the laws of the state. Now, when you go down Section 9, it says, this is where a lot of people are confused. So soon as there shall be 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age in the district, upon giving proof thereof to the governor, they shall receive authority with time and place and elect a representative from their counties and townships to represent them in the General Assembly. Now, we always hear the word 30,000. That's to vote. So as soon as you have 5,000 free male inhabitants of full age, which at the time that this was written was 16, then you can represent a rep, okay, from their counties or townships. This is why we say you need one representative to represent you under the Northwest Ordinance until you start getting enough counties built up to where you have X amount of people, and for every 5,000 people, you can have a rep for the state. So if you live in a major city where they got a million population today, divide that by 5,000, and that tells you how many reps you can have, according to this. Now, you come all the way down to Section 12. The governor, judges, legislative council, secretary, and such other officers as Congress shall appoint in the district, that means territory, shall take an oath of affirmation of fidelity and the office. The governor, therefore, be president of Congress, and all other officers before the governor. Section 13. And for extending the fundamental principles of civil and religious liberty. Uh-oh, wait a minute. There we go again. Why do they call it civil and religious liberty? Because the two are the same, which form a basis whereon those republics, their laws and constitutions are erected to fix and establish those principles as the basis of all laws, constitutions, and governments, which forever hereafter shall be formed in the said territory to provide also for the establishment of states and permanent governments therein, and for their admission to a share of the federal councils on an equal footing with the original states at as early periods as may be consent with the general interest. Section 14. It is hereby ordained and declared by the authority aforesaid that the following articles shall be considered as articles of compact between the original states and the people and states in the said territory, and forever remain unalterable unless by common consent, to wit. That means they have the will to do so. You understand what that says? This particular law is in effect forever. As long as there is a United States government, we have this law to go on. And then we go down here, Article 2. The inhabitants of the said territory shall always be entitled to the benefits of the writ of habeas corpus, and of a trial by jury, of a proportionate representation of the people in the legislature, and of judicial proceedings according to the course of all common law, all persons shall be bailable unless for capital offenses, where the proof shall be evident or a presumption great. All fines shall be moderate, and no cruel or unusual punishments shall be inflicted. No man shall be deprived of his liberty or property, but by the judgment of his peers or the law of the land. Every law that we have in the Bill of Rights is there except for one: the right to bear arms. That's not there. Down in Article 3, and then this is it. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. The utmost good faith shall always be observed towards the Indians, their lands, and their property shall never be taken from them without their consent. And in their property rights and liberty, they shall never be invaded or disturbed unless in just and lawful wars authorized by Congress. The laws founded in justice and humanity shall from time to time be made for preventing wrongs being done to them and for preserving peace and friendship with them. Wow. That was going good until about the 1840s, when the Northern armies found out they could go out west and take the land. But we had a treaty. Who cares? Tell you what, Indians, you tribal people, we'll give you the deserts where nothing grows, and we'll take the plush. We'll take all the land, got all the buffalo. We'll give you the land that no animal can grow on. That's our new treaty. This is why we in this republic have to make sure that the tribal nations, all of them, are involved in what we're doing. Because if we don't, we are still sinning under God's protection. The founders wrote this, that every tribal nation shall be protected. But that's not what happened, huh? Now, you go all the way down, done by the United States in Congress assembled, 13th day of July in the year of our Lord, 1787, and of their sovereignty and independence, the 12th. Now, everybody wants to know why we're not doing the articles. They came first. Constitution, oh, that was illegal. Yeah, I hear that argument all the time. There's a couple governors right now trying to make that argument. They don't call us the Republic for the United States. They call us something different, which means we're a different law form. And they use the idea that nothing was brought forth. Well, here you go. Towards the bottom, Article 5 of the Constitution, it says national debts. Here's what it says. All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. So the laws that were brought forth the debts that were brought forth from the articles are now under the Constitution. So what happened to the articles? Bye-bye. We brought forth all that we needed from them. And when they did the Bill of Rights, they took from the articles what we read, and then they added the first two, the right and the freedom of religion, the freedom to assemble, and the freedom to worship, and then the right to bear arms. Why did that come second? Because that protects the first. You get to protect your unalienable rights against the tyranny of a government. Well, why do they want to take the guns away? Because they understand you have the right to protect your rights. The right to worship. By the way, what they take away in COVID, they took away your right to worship, didn't they? They were trying to take away your right to bear arms. Don't you dare question Fauci. Oh, don't you ever question him. He's God when it comes to this. You mean you're not going to take the shot? Yeah, you are. We're going to force it on you, or you're going to get fired. Your rights were all done away with. Even the speedy trial thing, yeah, you had a speedy trial in about 8 months. Oh, for not checking the shot, remember? Sandy, she's yet to hear the outcome of her trial, which took place 5 months ago. The judge has a ruling, but he's not going to present it. I know why, because it has to be in favor. In accordance to the Supreme Court, it's got to be in favor for Sandy. And that means if it's in favor for Sandy, it's also in favor for about 130,000 other people. That's why the judge is not saying anything. We all know. So in the Republic, from this point on, and I'm not talking to you people as much as I am just a few. I don't ever want to hear the articles are supreme. I don't ever want to hear nation state. I don't ever want to hear a Confederate Republic. Ever. Because Congress will assemble and they will discuss and ask you questions, and it's Congress that can get rid of you. And for those of you who may hear this at a later date, understand, we want you and we want to keep you. But if you ain't going to play ball by the rules that are set down, you got to go. We are not going to go through again what we went through in 2011 and 2012. Ain't going to do it. I will execute my right of my oath to protect the Constitution. You can take that for whatever it's worth. That oath is still good from the United States Marine Corps to the LAPD to the United States Navy to the Republic. For me, it's a lifelong thing, just like it is for anybody else. And every time I took that oath, it was to protect that Constitution. Not the man in the office, that Constitution. From all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you want to try to bring in a different law form in my republic, guess what? There'll be war. Because I am to defend, support, and protect that Constitution. Why do you think Japan never got any closer than Hawaii to the West Coast as an army? Because every person who owned a home on the West Coast were armed to the teeth. And they weren't just fighting the United States Army. They were fighting the citizenry. last election, 10, 12 days ago, Kamala Harris found out what the American people want. She's in hiding right now. You know that? She's nowhere to be found. I would be too. She stole money from Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security to pay for electric cars and all the benefits to the woke. And now they're looking for her because they want their money back. She stole money from you if you're on Social Security. And that was running for president? I don't think so. The American people, when they see us, they're going to put us in office as quick as they can hit the bathroom. You know why? Because they're going to see us as the answer to all their problems. And we are. Why? Because 50 years ago, right after the assassination of JFK, people began to do research, and they were beginning to find out that there were organizations in the federal government that are pure evil. And that has grown into what we now have today as a republic. Those people are no longer with us, but they were warriors for us. And if they were alive, they'd be standing right next to us. You, along with others in this republic, we are all in our own states standing arm in arm, elbow to elbow, in protecting the state constitution as well as the national constitution. It's not about who's in office. It's always about the Constitution. Mark, you want to unmute so we can take some questions?
Yes, sir, I could do that. You want the recording to continue?
Yeah, you can for a while, yeah.
All righty, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please mute your phones on your own. If you're not speaking, or I'll be forced to mute you if you have background noise.
You okay? Oh, just moving straight.
Justice Waters, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Rosalind Daly. I'm not yet been vetted up for a justice in Pennsylvania, but I'm on my way.
Okay.
My question is regarding, and I don't even know, if you don't want to address it, I defer to you, but just was wondering, why do some people say that the Constitution is an illegal document?
Well, number one, they've been taught wrong. Number two, it could be any one of these, but in the past, we've dealt with people that are just ignorant, or they want to bring in their own style of government. Some are agents from the federal government that are sent here to disrupt and try to tear us apart. We have looked and seen some of those over the years, and it will be dealt with accordingly. There's all kind of reasons. And it's like my mom always told me when I was growing up, if you wouldn't look for excuses to not do something, what you were supposed to do would already be done. You know, so they're looking for reasons to disrupt what God has set down to get done. So they're not only anti-republic, but because we have God's law for them, they're against God too. So that's about the best I can answer right now.
All right, thank you.
Bam. Anybody else?
Justice Walters?
Yes.
Governor of Montana, Jim Anderson. We just finished rounding out our state group this weekend. What's the big push for the counties? If you said what the military is looking for is for the state to be filled up.
I don't know, but the military isn't going to say, you got all your counties ready? Nobody's going to have all their counties ready. We may get stood up next week. I don't know. They're only interested in the Northwest Ordinance because that is national law. So we're getting ready to have state and national set up. That's the priority. So, you know, I know there are people out there who are saying that, but that's not a priority with the counties. The counties are inside the state. We're concerned with the state itself. So, hope I answered your question. Anybody else?
Justice Waters?
Yeah.
Chargers are just eating them up.
This is Pauline Forsell, Arizona candidate for justice. You were saying in the Northwest Ordinance, the 5,000 free males.
Yeah.
Does that include women also?
No, it'll be 5,000 people, male and female.
Thank you for clarifying that. And then also, it is up to the five officers of the state to initially set up the Constitution for the state, and then Congress will come in and later and say yay or nay to those?
Yeah. Yeah, the governor and three justices will go look at the original constitutions of the original states, and then they'll say, well, this is what we got to go by. And, of course, each state may be different because of the landscape and so forth. Some states have mountains, others don't. So that does things for travel. But that's what you have to do in that order. And once the territory, which is what we consider a state that, you know, doesn't have all the positions filled, then they will get that filled, present it to the president, and the president can say yay or nay on standing you up. And once that is done and we get so many states, a quorum, 37, that's when the military can come in and actually say you're stood up. And I can tell you right now, we've got 22 or 23 states that are fully ready to go. And I think we got like 14 or 15 states, and all they're doing is they're just missing one person.
Is that us, Georgia?
So we're all.
Thank you for clarifying that for me. I yield.
Justice Waters, this is Brittany Ramsauer, governor, interim governor of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Hi. I have a question that was up in our meeting today. I have a senator who is part of the assembly, and I want to know, are we able to vote in the assembly and still hold an interim seat for the Republic?
Yeah. Basically,
okay.
You're...
It was just a clarification.
So you have a party,
I would... Because it's two different jurisdictions.
Okay.
And, you know, they really don't need that assembly for the state anyway. Right now, they need to get the state stood up. Every state's going to have a state grand jury. And, you know, a lot of the assemblies can do that later on as long as they are within the law form. Okay. But a lot of those assemblies aren't in the law form that I've seen. So just be careful of that.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. I yield.
Yes. Justice Waters, this is Ellie Kroll from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that about the Native Americans. When this republic is stood up, are we going to be giving back the land that we took from the Native Americans to them?
I love it.
I don't know about giving them all the land back because it was a massive amount of the country. But
right.
We're definitely going to compensate them. I'm not exactly sure how all that's going to work out. That'll be up to the Congress of the Republic. But, yeah, we're going to treat them as, you know, we're not going to treat them like the corporate government did.
Yeah.
We're going to treat them probably better than they've ever been treated before. And we're going to allow them to do their dances and things like that because their dances mean it brings in the spirit, believe it or not.
Right. Yep.
Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And that's they're okay. If you remember, President Geiger back in 16 up there in Green Bay, they put a shawl around him and blessed him after he asked for forgiveness from the white man. And one of them, Indian chiefs, told the crowd that they were in Jerusalem doing a dance from their native people, and they were stopped by the holy man over there, and they asked them, "Where did you learn that dance?" And he said it was brought down by our ancestors. Why?
Yep.
Are we in trouble?
Yep.
And he said, "No, that's the dance that King David danced on the way of bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem."
Yeah.
Now, how in the world they know that?
Because they're part of the 12 tribes.
Exactly. They're to be revered, not done away with.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that. That makes me really happy. We have the Oneida tribe that's really close, and they have their powwows all the time, and it's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah. They're all about nature.
Yep, I love it. It's good.
And so, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Waters. This is Gregory Ottensmeyer, Senator from Maryland.
Yep.
We just completed this week, I was on the committee for the rewriting the Maryland Constitution. We used the original of four Maryland constitutions. So my question is, what's the best procedure from this point forward? I mean, we'd like to present it to, the assembly and all the counties of Maryland to have them have an opportunity to look at it and suggest changes, et cetera.
Well, you got one or two options that I know. The first option is to get all the counties stood up in your state. How many counties you got?
24, including Baltimore City.
Okay. If you can get all 24 stood up county-wise before the national is stood up, then you can present that to them. They can vote on it.
Excellent. We have eight original counties. I confirmed that with the Maryland State Archives.
Okay.
So we only need to stand up really eight counties. Is that correct?
Well, whatever it was in 1860.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Now, the other end of that is if we're stood up, then everybody's in the Republic. You don't have to worry about that part. And then you can present that as a state or a territory to the national government. If they approve it, then it goes back to the state, and that's now your constitutional law for your state.
Okay, but we should not submit that to national until...
No.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
They got to be a local Congress.
But... I'm assuming we should at least distribute it among Maryland members, all counties.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with Amy through that. Okay.
Yeah, I would you get eight of them stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're getting the eight original counties, has that changed for you at all with the names?
The understanding is that any eight counties out of the 24 can be stood up because we had eight original. Do you know anything different?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I learned a lot tonight, and I thank you all very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
Justice Watson?
Yes.
Justice Waters?
Yeah.
This is Art Hogan from the Peace State of Missouri.
Yes.
If an individual who is a member of the Republic currently owns controlling interest in a corporation, should they liquidate or change the status of ownership of that entity, or what would you advise in that situation?
Is it a business?
Yes.
No.
As an example,
no.
I've had just several people ask me about that. But in this case,
government.
I'm thinking of business.
Yeah, no. We don't want to disrupt businesses. And that's not a controlling part of the government. So it's just the government that we're concerned with.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Hello, this is Walter. This is
Lisa. Yes. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No, I can.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. My name is Lita Vincent L., and I'm waiting to be vetted for the state of Maryland for Chief of Justice, if they still have a position open. And what I wanted to know, because he just started speaking about using six previous forms of the Constitution, and Maryland was one of the original 13 colonies. And my question prior to that was, when you were speaking to everyone about using original constitutions, were you thinking that we should collaborate with all of the original 13 constitutions with some changes, or only the previous constitutions of that state?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I got to ask you some questions.
Yes.
The first question is, do you still have the original constitution from back in the late 1700s?
I believe in the state of Maryland, yes.
Then you can't change
that. I can confirm
that. Okay. Yeah. Then you can't change
it. Was
okay.
November 11th, 1776.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's the one we used. Okay. I'm sorry, this is Gregory again. I didn't mean to step over you, Mary. But I think you're part of our committee, are you not?
No, I'm waiting to be vetted for Chief of Justice. I'm waiting to get back on the schedule.
Waiting for Amy. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so I put in an email because I emailed Amy. I put in an email so I can be put back on the schedule to go through vetting.
Yeah, okay. But, no, as far as your constitution goes, that's the original. That's about as original as you can get.
Okay.
And as long as nothing's been changed in it, then you don't even have to worry about yours.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I will say one thing. You may have to make some adoptions in the laws, not the Constitution itself, but the laws, because they didn't have motor vehicles back in that day and airplanes and all that good stuff. That you may have to change. That's just updated, though.
Okay. So this is a big question that I have in my mind. We're not going to be using codes, but we're going to be using laws.
Correct.
Right? Because we want to get rid of all the codes. The codes came with the corporation. So we're going to. So if we're using the Constitution, what is going to govern our laws? What framework are we going to? We know that we are doing common law, which is also biblical law for our Constitution. So what framework are we going to be using to help develop the laws?
Okay. You already have laws on the books that you will go use those same laws up to 1860. Mm. Where you guys play is 1861 on. They did not have automobiles back then. You're going to have to come up with speed limits and things like that. Airports, they didn't have airports, so you're going to have to upgrade all that. So those are the things you got to take into consideration. And the best way I know to do that is get in Cornell's U.S. Code.
Mm.
And you'll find a listing. And you can start by using that as titles. Now, listen, everything the corporation did is not bad, okay?
Correct.
So you may want to use some of their own things. Just transfer it over to the public. It's just a corporate thing. It just does damage to people that you got to have to change.
Okay. So, Justice Walters, I know you're probably aware of what they're calling the quantum language, which was set forth by David Miller and Russell J. Gold. How does the quantum syntax or quantum language combine with what we're doing with the Constitution and all the laws that need to be set forth?
I'm just now studying that, so I can't really tell you.
Okay. All right.
So
I yield the floor.
I'm in the middle of that study.
Okay, I yield the floor. And can I make one suggestion? I suggest that you contact Russell J. Gold and have him come and give us a class. And I yield the floor.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, can I add on that? David Lester Strait is another prime example, but I stay in touch with Russell on the quantum grammar. Yeah, great add there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Just remember, he captured a different flag than the Republic flag.
Justice Waters?
We're moving into that realm, and that's going to be a worldwide type language when it comes to money and commerce and things like that. That is going to happen, so we better get ready for that. But, you know, within the country itself, I mean, I don't know that much about it. I just started studying it,
here,
so I'll learn something
questions.
Here.
Hey, Justice Waters, I'm not trying to interrupt, but whoever just commented, David Lester Strait, they must beware, because David Lester Strait is fraud, and that is not condoned in the Republic, from my complete understanding. So beware of whoever is.
Funny how that happened when you say
that was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I understand what
that
you're
was
saying.
Sure, interesting what that was.
Yeah.
This is Sally in Wyoming. Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Caitlin.
Hey, what yellow?
In the event of the Brunson case, I've heard many comments about it this week. In the event that the Supreme Court does rule in favor of the Brunson case, and that removes, I think, 388 members of Congress and puts Trump in office immediately, what does that mean to the Republic? Would that automatically stand us up? Would we be on guard, or what would that mean? And I'll mute out so you can answer.
We would be in our probably 60 to 120-day transition period where we would be stood up. We're not going to get stood up overnight, but it's going to be a period of time and the military would assist with that. They go down completely because we're not going to D.C. We're not going to occupy Satanist rooms and so forth. That'll probably get leveled anyway. And wherever the national government will be at that time, we'll be there. If you're national, the states will remain the states. Everybody will get stood up. And what needs to be refilled will still, in operational terms, will be filled. The Congress will come into play. But until that point in time, the military will take over. There'll be martial law. At that point in time, they will be presenting on TV. The EBS will be going on. And everybody in America will only get one channel. And that channel will show an 8-long-hour film of what they've done to us. And it will replay over and over and over. And as far as I know right now, that's what I do know. The timing of everything is what we don't know. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. If that's why they're not bringing that out now, number one, because Trump won the election. Number two, it's not as important to release now as it was prior to the election. If Harris would have won, they'd have known that it got stolen, and then they would have done that right then and there. They don't want to have chaos right now. So that's about as best as I can understand of it. I do know that it's over. I do know the Supreme Court has a ruling on it. They just have to present it. So we're all in wait. But it would be interesting to see what would happen if they did release that, say, Monday morning, and then see what the military does for us. There would be chaos in the country, though. Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a lot of the sealed would become unsealed. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Rhonda Bennett in Wyoming. I got interruptions during part of what you were saying. Can you just give a summary list? The priority for us right now is to have our 5 state officers. Where, correct? First
yes.
priority to have those 5. Okay. Then where does the county assemblies, getting the county assemblies fit in if you were to give the top 3 priorities of things we should do, the 5 officers in our state, and then can you just say second most important would be, I mean, the 5,000, I heard the 5,000 number being talked about, and the county assemblies has been brought up a lot lately as being something important to do.
Well, that it is important, but you have to get your state prepared first. Once you get your 5 in state, then you can go to work solid on your counties. I don't want anybody to think the counties are more important than the state, because it's not.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once you get your 5, you're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Justice Waters?
I'll take one more.
Oh, bless you. If I may, it's Jennifer in Wisconsin, Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And piggybacking on Rhonda's questions about the actions in the counties. We have committees of safety as sort of the seeding of an assembly, and a pretty robust group of maybe 7 or 8 counties of the 72 that we have that have elected bailiff and moderator and scribe, and some who have posted notice on a public bulletin board at the clerk's office. However, we are not submitting documents, either a covenant preamble read on the courthouse steps, et cetera, to the county recorder, clerk recorder, or in the county commission or county board context. we are simply giving notice on the public bulletin board, and we await contact via our Chief Justice with the Adjutant General in Wisconsin. Is it? I've heard that it's not necessary to adhere specifically, for example, to the way that Ohio handled their public notice. It seems to be quite a bit more corporation heavy in terms of filing a document. Do you have any insights on the necessity of that?
Yeah, don't do it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm encouraged to hear that. There's been a lot of mixed information about what's necessary, and at its root, is it not fitting that the people at the county level are those who determine that action, and that the national advice and state advice is to not file documents and record them with the corporation?
Why would the United States want to give Russia all our information before we do an attack? I mean, that's stupid.
I wholeheartedly agree, but there's been a lot of mixed messaging on that.
Yeah. Well, that's the purpose. The county's not your friend in the government. They're going to refuse to file it if they know what it is. At least they're going to try. So, no.
Well, indeed, they have pulled down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you bypass all that by not filing it with them. What you're doing is a lawful thing, and they do it too. That's the whole point. They do it. So if they can do it, it's law. So therefore, it's law for you too.
Yes, constitutional law in our case.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, if your state constitution says that, then you're more lawful than they are, right?
Indeed.
There you go.
Okay, and so the action at the county level need continue by bringing forward committees of safety, and those beget larger assemblies or jural assemblies?
Yeah. Every county is going to need a grand jury at one point or another. You might as well get them set up before you do all the other.
Okay, and lastly, just one question about the. Oh, I'm sorry.
Put it in a little pool. In the cooler.
Oh, that's the echo of a call not muted. The idea of the original counties needing to be the only ones that are necessary in reaching the 30,000 number, and questions about whether or not the population of a county, say, of 190,000 completely fulfills the 30,000 person requirement?
And I know that's what Dave Roberts said, so I'm going by what he said. So he knows more about
one
that
county,
than I do.
One county speaks for the entire state, then?
If you've got that many people, like you may have that in Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you've got the numbers to fulfill that, I know that's what he's going by.
Okay, so we can have an election in Wisconsin because Green Bay has gone du jour. Or sorry, Brown County.
Okay. And by the way,
Green
Bay.
That seems too good to be true.
don't say Green Bay right now. They beat my Bears today.
Oh, dear. Sorry to hear that.
No, you're right. As far as I know, by what Dave Roberts says, that should be lawful.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand the underpinning of that. What law?
I don't know if there's actually a law for that. I know the state laws. I don't know the county laws, because every county can be different.
But the Northwest Ordinance says 30,000 people, and that is just in the state.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That doesn't preclude the advancement in all of the other counties to build their assembly and to continue forward in establishing self-governance.
Well, what you need to do, if you're going to do that, get into like the like a paper that goes statewide, USA Today or something like that,
uh-huh.
and put in there that you're going to hold elections for the free state. That's how you put that. That's what we did for President Geiger and his election. If you do that, you got to wait 30 days, and then you can do it. So that's something that your state people are going to have to discuss. You know, you're going to get with the governor and so forth. And you could also ask Jean Hurler about that. Because I know in all her studies that she's done, she's come across those kind of things too. So it's been a while since I talked about it. So,
but all predicated on the states and the nation, the republic at a national level being stood up.
Right. Right.
Okay. Thank you very much. I yield. Really appreciate your counsel.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
God
bless
you.
Mark, let's close that thing down.
All right, sir. Just want to clarify one point you made about 1860. The exact date for the de jure / corporate cutoff for laws and stuff is December 19th of 1860.
Right.
So almost to 1861, but not quite. At that point, everything before that is considered to be de jure law, and everything after that is considered to be de facto law or corporate law. And that's
right.
All I got, sir.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Come.